The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I have come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, if I can be honest with you, Rally Day is one of my favorite days in the church year. No, it's not a major church holiday. It doesn't even make it on our liturgical calendar. It doesn't have a special color, although here at St. John's, we are covering it in orange as we officially kick off our orange strategy of connecting faith to the home intentionally. But Rally Day always reminds me to get back in the rhythm. Summer is a time that we are in so many different places, and although our kids have been in school for about a month now, I still need to be pulled back in. And if I'm really honest, Rally Day now reminds me to get back on track with our family faith practices, opening up my Bible with my kids more, taking on new prayer practices, starting to pull out those sheets that my daughter gets from Sunday school so that we can go over our memory verses all over again. Summer throws me for a loop. Rally Day reminds me to reset. So, what a coincidence that Rally Day also kicks off our new sermon series that we have titled Reset. This fall, we are going to be taking a look at stories from the Old Testament where God's people needed a reset. And the Old Testament is filled with these types of reset stories. Because really, if you boil down the Old Testament to maybe a couple nuggets of truth, it's this. God makes a covenant, a promise with God's people. God's people break that covenant promise. God forgives and makes a new covenant. These reset stories reveal to us God's goodness. They reveal to us God's grace, helping us reset for our God every once in a while, but really every single day. And when we look at the Bible, it doesn't take very long for us to need a reset. Most of us know the story of Genesis to some degree, but bear with me while I review it because we need to know the full context so that we can appreciate the deep reset that we heard today from our Genesis reading. As the writer of Genesis tells the story, God created a universe wonderful beyond comprehension or description, really. Now, back in the day when the Bible was written, this was wild to think of God and all that God had created, but probably now more than any other generation before, we can sit back in awe and wonder because we've gone further in exploring the wonders of God's creation than ever before, right? We've walked on the moon. We've had photo ops on Mars on the one hand. But then we've also studied creatures that are so incredibly small that they can build a whole village on one eyelash. We realize when we look at how enormous God's creation is, just how small we are. And for some reason, in the opening story of Genesis, God decides to make humans and give us dominion over all of the land. Now, God sets us up good. God gave us everything we needed and gave us authority over it all. So, of course, we humans are ecstatically grateful, right? No. You know the rest of the story that we heard today. We might want to imagine Adam and Eve walking over their domain, singing songs of gratitude and praising God's goodness all the days of their life. But somewhere early on in this story, something happened. They became seduced by the suggestion that God isn't really as generous as God might appear. The one thing that God refuses to Adam and Eve suddenly becomes the only thing that they see. And it seems to take away the gratitude for all the other good things that God has surrounded them with. It's like when you finally get that brand new something and you're so incredibly happy, and then 2 months later they come out with a newer model. You're not as happy. Or when you go on a diet and all you can think about is the foods that you're not supposed to eat, not all the wonderful, colorful, beautiful, fueling our body foods that God has given us. We all know the feeling. We always want the one thing we can't have. Ignoring the extravagant, gracious generosity of God, they buy in to what this stranger begins to tell them. So if we flip in our bulletin and we look at Genesis chapter 3, if we look at verse 6, this is what it says to us. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Now it's important to notice that her husband was with her while all of this was going on. He was there for the conversation. He had the choice to make or stop a decision, but he ate too. And what happens afterwards is where we're going to focus some attention on. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The forbidden tree was the knowledge of good and evil. With their eating, they became conscious of their nakedness. In the simplest terms, they lost the innocence that they once had. And I could take it a step further to say that Adam and Eve's new sense of nakedness was not so much an embarrassment at being seen by the other as it was the uneasiness that they felt with themselves. Adam wanted to hide from Adam, and Eve wanted to hide from Eve. The only things in life that I want to hide from are the things that I am ashamed of in myself. So with this loss of innocence, there's also a breakdown in communication and relationship. I always love asking my 3-year-old daughter questions to see her unguarded answers, right? Kids say the funniest things because they don't know any better. They are innocent, but as they lose that innocence, they learn how to say what is expected of them rather than offering their truest feelings. It isn't until later in life that we realize authenticity is really what we crave. True communication builds relationships, but so often we don't want to be left naked by the vulnerability that it takes. And almost immediately, because of this discomfort, Adam and Eve start grabbing for something right next to them, and they grab onto a fig leaf and they cover themselves. I have the problem, though, with this fig leaf is that fig leaves quickly dry up. Fig leaves quickly crumble away. It's the quick fix, right? They're avoiding the immediate discomfort and shame for their wrong. Now, I've made plenty of mistakes throughout my life, and many of them were when I was a teenager. Imagine that. I knew when I did something wrong because immediately I tried to cover it up, right? I thought of a lie so that I would get out of trouble. I faked my parents' signature. I tried to repair what was broken. But the thing is that I realize now in my life as I look back, there's very few times that it actually worked. My cover-up would dry up just like the fig leaves, and I was left looking at myself in the mirror, pretty disappointed with myself, but also thinking, gosh, my parents must think, what must my parents think of me? What must God think of me? And so right after this, our reading from Genesis today, we hear some serious consequences that happen, right? The serpent is made to crawl on his belly and eat dirt for the rest of his life. The woman will be given great pain during birth. The man will die eventually. God is hurt, and there are consequences because we are now broken creatures. And here's the thing. God's hurt by our sin. God wanted and wants better for us. God knows that sin is a sign of brokenness, broken self, broken relationships, and broken pieces. God never intended the world to be broken. God made this world and made us for good. Sin breaks God's heart, and so, just like Adam and Eve, there are consequences that come in our lives too. But here's the thing. There's also grace in this story that gives hope and this big old reset that Adam and Eve need. Because if our reading today would have continued on to verse 21, it says this, "And the Lord God, right after giving all the consequences, made garments of skins for the man and for his wife, and clothed them." You see, the writer of Genesis tells us that God doesn't consider Adam and Eve disgraceful or a lost cause. Yes, they violated God's trust, and still God responds with grace, giving Adam and Eve and all of humanity the biggest reset. The fig leaves are clearly not going to work. They aren't adequate for the coldness that has now come into human existence, nor will those fig leaves work through the daily wear and tear of life. Something sturdy, something strong is needed. And so God provides that. God provides garments of skin, and God clothes them with forgiveness, not without consequence, but also not without love. Adam and Eve have alienated themselves from God, but God refuses to be alienated in their lives. And so it is the same with us. We can run and hide and try to get away from God, but God refuses to be alienated in our lives too. There is nothing that you or I can do that God cannot give us a reset from, because God gave it all. God gave us God's only Son, who reset humanity once and for all, for you and for me and for the rest of the world. And that is the beautiful, amazing, great news today. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are good beyond measure. You are worthy of every single bit of praise that we can muster up in these broken bodies. You are the creator of the whole world, and you redeem every living thing. When we see ourselves in nakedness, disgust, and shame, you see in us the face of Jesus Christ on the cross. Help us remember that because Jesus lived, we have been reset to live a new life too. Give us strength to live out a life reset for your glory, loving like you first so graciously and generously loved us. In your name we pray. Amen.